वंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वंदेहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकांता राधाकांता नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
Hare Krishna. So I'm happy to be back at Pune for our Vidyapeeth classes. In these 3 days, we will discuss the chapters on Dhruvamaharaja's episode, 4th canto, 8, 9, 10, 11 chapters. 12th chapter, it's already covered, right, by His Grace Radhishyamprabhu. So, this is one of the favorite chapters of Lord Chaitanya also. So, we can see just how a 5-year-old boy also, with great determination, can practice devotional service. Even Damodar also can practice. He can also hear Bhagavatam class. He can also attend Aarti. So, it's a very hope-giving chapter, hope-giving episode overall. And it's filled with so many beautiful lessons. So we will see. Even before entering this episode, we have a small 5-verse section on the dynasty of Adharma. So far, from the middle of the 3rd canto, when Vidura met Maitreya, in the beginning of the 3rd canto, he asked him to explain about the Purushavataras. So Maitreya Muni explained about Purushavataras, the creation of the Supreme Lord, and the sub-creation by Brahmaji also, Sarga and Visarga. And as a part of Brahmaji's creation, we also have the appearance of Swayambhu Manu and Shatarupa. And in the 3rd canto, 21st chapter, Vidura asks, I want to know about the dynasty of Swayambhu Manu. Swayambhu Manu had 5 children, 3 daughters and 2 sons. So the 3 daughters were Devahuti, Prasuti and Akuti. Maitreya Muni describes the dynasty of Devahuti in the 3rd canto, from 20th chapter till 24th chapter, her household life with Kardama Muni and beyond the teachings of Lord Kapila and her perfection. And the dynasties of her 9 daughters were described in the 4th canto, 1st chapter. And the dynasties of Prasuti and Akuti were also described in the 4th canto, 1st chapter. So as a part of Prasuti's dynasty, he was married to Dhruva, married to Daksha. This whole Sati and Shiva episode comes up to 7th chapter. So after completing the description of the dynasties of the daughters of Swayambhu Manu, Maitreya Muni is about to begin the description of the dynasties of sons of Swayambhu Manu in the 4th canto, 8th chapter. So who are the sons? Uttanapada and Priyavrat. So before even describing the dynasty of Uttanapada, he describes the dynasty of Adharma. Because as a part of his description of the dynasties of daughters of Swayambhu Manu, he also described the dynasties of some of the sons of Brahmaji. So, one more son of Brahmaji is left out. His name is Adharma, irreligion. So after completing the lineage of Adharma, he will come to Uttanapada. Like that, that's the connection. And this lineage of Adharma will also give us a taste, or not taste, inclination or Uddipan to enter Dhruva Maharaj's episode, because it's a very disgusting dynasty. So once you, for example, somebody offers you a sweet, rasgulla, rasmalai, definitely it's very relishable. But if you happen to burn your mouth by eating some mirchi, after that someone gives you rasmalai, you can appreciate it better. Right? Some people are too much into non-spicy food. As soon as they eat little mirchi here and there, nayanam galadhashrudharaya, vadanam gadgadarudhayagira, all this happens. So for them, they can relish the sweet even better. Similarly, Dhruva Maharaj's episode is really relishable, inspiring, but after hearing the description of the dynasty of Adharma, like there is an eagerness to accept it. Right? Even Maitreya is also very eager to accept it. So let's see what is there in Adharma that is so disgusting. Maitreya uvacha sanakadhyana radascha rudhurham sorunair yatihim naite grihan brahmasutam hyavasan urdharetasaham. Someone read the translation, please. I'll read the first one. The four great Kumara sages, headed by Sanaka as well as Narada, Ribhu, Hamsa, Aruni, Yati, all sons of Brahma did not live at home, but became Urdharetasa or Naishtika Brahmacharis, unadulterated celibates. So, as I said, Maitreya Muni wants to describe the dynasties of some of the sons of Brahmaji, along with describing the dynasties of daughters of Swayambhu Manu, because some of them got married to some sons of Brahmaji and their children got married to some sons of Brahmaji, like that. For example, Devuti got married to Kardama Muni, one son of Brahmaji. So few sons of Brahmaji were described, and some more sons are there. They did not enter family life. They became Naishtika Brahmacharis. Urdharetasaha means their semen goes upward. So, because they are Naishtika Brahmacharis, there is no question of their dynasty description. Right? So, who are those Brahmacharis? I mentioned in the first verse. There are the four Kumaras, then Narada Muni, Ribhu, Hamsa, Aruni, Yati, all these people. So, in the purport, Prabhupada explains the importance of Brahmacharya. So if one can control his sensual urges and follows celibacy, he can perform wonderful work. One's memory is enabled to act very swiftly and the duration of life is also increased. Like that. So, principle of Brahmacharya is that one who lives at home with a wife can only engage in sex pleasure only for the purpose of begetting children, right? So when that purpose is not there, so sex life should be out of question. for such a person. So such people are called brahmacharis. They never create progeny. Next verse.
Mrishadharmasya bharyasid
dambham
mayam cha shatruhan
asutamithunam
tattu
niruttir
jagrihe
prajaha.
Another son of Lord Brahma was irreligion, whose wife name was Falsity. From their combination were born two demons named Dambha or Bluffing and Maya or Cheating. These two demons were taken by a demon named Viritti who had no children.
Mrusha Adharmasya Bharyasid. So there is a personality named Mrusha. So her name is Mrusha because she is the personification of the quality of falsity. And there is another man, his name is Adharma, right? He is the son of Brahmaji. Irreligion was born from the back of Brahma, we heard in the 3rd canto, 12th chapter. So, they both happen to be like brother and sister, still they get married, right? So that's the most disgusting thing in Adharma's dynasty, where there is a marriage and a union that happened between brother and sister, right? So, Dambham, Mayam, and from their combination, Dambha and Maya came. Dambha means bluffing, Maya is illusion. So, they are also brother and sister. Again, there was a union. From their combination, Lobha and Nirukti came, greed and cunning. That will come in the next verses. So, basically, this whole dynasty is formed by a combination which is unprecedented, a combination which is undesirable combination between man and woman. So it is never heard of or thought of. So that's why it is Adharma dynasty. So this law of karma continues birth after birth, and when there is a new creation, the same karma comes back with the living entities. And they are born in different capacities according to their karma, even though their father is originally Brahmaji, who is a qualitative incarnation of the Lord. So now these people happen to be the children of Brahmaji and the dynasty of Brahma. Just because you are connected to a glorious dynasty, that doesn't mean you become glorious. Just because we are connected to a glorious institution, that doesn't mean we become glorious. So there is a background, there is a karma, right? So there is a purpose and there is a consciousness with which a person takes birth. And there is a consciousness with which a parent conceives the child also. For example, Priyavrata Maharaj was a very great devotee. But when conceiving his first son Agnidhra, he became little lusty. So he got a son named Agnidhra who became Pitruloka Kama. He became desirous of entering Pitruloka. So then he goes to this mountain where some apsaras come and stroll there. Puruva, tapasya. Right, if your rounds are pending, you don't go to local train or railway station and enchant. So you go to some peaceful place or temple hall or some at least some garden and enchant. So he is going there to do tapasya. That shows his intention. So why did he develop this kind of inclination? It is mainly because definitely his background is there. His own background is there. And why did he enter this dynasty? Because Priyavrata became little lusty, right? So, Brahmaji also had a responsibility. While creating this world, the first thing that he had to create was forgetfulness, avidya, five kinds of nisayans. So, to run this world, he has to create some bad qualities and good qualities, right? And the predominating deities of those bad qualities and good qualities also, they come according to their previous whatever they deserve, previous deeds, right? So here this whole dynasty of Adharma, which is originating from Brahmaji, is coming with their description is very horrible and disgusting, right? So let's see more personalities in this dynasty.
Tayoha samabhaval loko निकृतिश्च महामते ताभ्यां क्रोधश्च हिंसाच यद्दुरुक्तिः स्वशाकलिः.
So from the combination of Dambha and Maya, Nirukti and Lobha came. Nirukti means greed, and Nirukti is cunning, Lobha is greed. Right? And from their combination, Krodha and Himsa came. Krodha means anger, Himsa is violence, envy, like that. And from their combination, they are all brothers and sisters only. From their combination, Kali and Durukti came. Kali means quarrel, and Durukti means harsh speech. Right? Interestingly, in the next episode we see Suruchi, who was speaking very harshly. Right? Durukti. Suruchi is representing this Durukti. The next fourth verse. Duruktir Kali Radhattam Bhayam Mrityum Chasattamam Tayoscha Mithunam Jagnim Yatana Nirayastatha. From the combination of Kali and Durukti, Kali means quarrel, Durukti is harsh speech. From their combination, Mrityu and Bhiti came. Mrityu means death, Bhiti is fear, Bhayam. And from their combination of Mrityu and Bhiti, there is the appearance of Yatana, excessive pain, and also Niraya, hell. So it's ending up with hell. So, all these are different qualities, adharma, dambha, maya, lobha, etc. So, if one imbibes these qualities, if one has these qualities, he will end up in hell. That's how the dynasty of adharma description is concluding. So, this description is, all these are actually causes of hell. Right, in the next verse he says, we'll read that also, fifth verse. Not Kali Yuga, it's the quality of being quarrelsome. It's not the predominating deity of Kali Yuga. Maybe there is both are same also, I didn't hear any description like that. But here it's the quality of quarreling with other people. Right? In this context. So, now there are some favorable elements and unfavorable elements for bhakti. So whatever is listed down here, they are all unfavorable qualities for bhakti. If someone has dambha, lobha, nirukti, krodha, himsa, these kind of tendencies, they are quite unfavorable for one's devotional service. So, before describing the glorious devotional service of Dhruva Maharaj, Maitreya Muni is describing certain qualities that are very detrimental to devotional service. So, one may ask about the favorable and unfavorable elements for bhakti. So, the elements ending with hell, the family members of adharma, so they are described as unfavorable elements for bhakti. Right? So Brahmaji is creating this personified adharmas for people to suffer. Adharma ultimately leads to hell. This adharma dynasty. Dynasty began with adharma, ended up with niraya, hell. Right? So fifth verse. Sangrahena mayakhyataham pratisargastavanagham Trihrusrutvaitatuman punyam vidhunotyatmanomalam sangrahena maya akhyataha. Akhyataha, I have explained how sangrahena. Sangrahena means in brief. Right? So I have briefly explained the dynasty of Adharma. So what is the quality of this dynasty? Pratisargascha tava anagha. Pratisarga. Sarga means creation. Pratisarga means destruction. So all these members in the dynasty of Adharma are causes of destruction. Pratisarga. Tvaya anagha. And he is speaking this to whom? Vidura, who is devoid of any agha, sinful tendencies. Right? Pratisargas tava anagha. So, and what is the result of hearing this kind of description, which is actually disgusting? Trihi means three times. Srutvaita puman punyam. If you hear the description of the dynasty of adharma three times, then Mahan Punyam, one attains great piety. Right? So what's happening is there is full impiety, and the Phalashruti of that is piety, great piety. And next, Vidhunoti Atmano Malam. Atmano Malam means the sinful contamination one may have in his head, that is Vidhunoti, completely be washed away. So how can this description of the dynasty of Adharma, which is ending up in hell, cause piety and give you purification from all material contamination? Because of the disgust that it creates. Right? So it is, this description is purifying, because by hearing it repeatedly 3 times, now we heard it, now we'll have to go and read it, and you have to write exam also, and we'll have an overview class also. We'll hear minimum 3 times within Vidyapeeth only. So then the other two should happen, are supposed to happen. So cleansing of the heart will happen, because it's not only when you describe about bhakti or some glorious quality, it's not only about the positive side of it. We need to discuss the negative side of it also. The negative side means the things that might obstruct that bhakti. We discuss the glories of chanting holy names, and we also recite the offenses to holy names. Right? So we discuss the glories of bhakti, and we also discuss certain things that are detrimental to bhakti. So thus, by describing or by discussing the dynasty of adharma, we will develop an inspiration to stay away from this kind of qualities. Right? Thus, by inspiring us to stay away from this kind of negative qualities, it will increase our piety. Right? So smoking is injurious to health. Someone hears, oh, it's injurious to health. Hear that 3 times. Injurious to health, injurious. Okay, fine, I'll not smoke. Like that. So, in that sense. But these personalities in itself are not glorious personalities. Like that. So, creation takes place on the basis of goodness, but devastation takes place because of irreligion. That's why the verse says Pratisarga. So, this is the way of material creation and devastation. So, Brahmaji has to create both parties. If a person is pious and hears about these causes of devastation, he will feel hatred for all these qualities, and there will be advancement in a life of piety. So, like that. Next. Sixth verse. Athataha kirtaye vamsham punya kirte hi kurudvaham svayambhavasyapi manohar Harer Amsham Shajan Manaha.
Maitreya continued, O best of the Kuru dynasty, I shall now describe before you the descendants of Swayambhu Manu, who was born of a part of a plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Athataha Kirtaya Vamsham. Now, after completing the description of Adharma dynasty, I will describe another dynasty. Punyakirtyah Kurudvaha. This is a very glorious vamsha, glorious dynasty, and it's very pious. This whole description is very pious. Vai Svayambhavasyapi Manor Harehe Amshamsha Janmanaha. So they are born out of Svayambhu Manu. First, this is the dynasty is about Uttanapada. Uttanapada came from Svayambhu Manu. And from Uttanapada came Dhruva Maharaj and whole dynasty, Anga Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, Prachinabarhi, Prachetas, all these great personalities came from Uttanapada. Origin of this dynasty is Svayambhu Manu. So, they were born as a part of plenary portion of the Lord, and they produced parts of the Lord. So, Svayambhu Vasyapi Manor Hare Amsha Amsha Janmanaha. So, there is one verse in the 12th canto describing about Manvantara. Manvantaro Manurdeva Manuputra Sureshwaraha Rishayo Amshavatarasya Harim Shadvidham Uchyate. Manvantaro Manurdeva. In a Manvantara, there are 6 elements. There is Manu, there is Manuputra, Manuputras, multiple, and Rishi, 7 sages, demigods, and the king of demigods, Indra, and an Amshavatara, Manvantara Avatara. 6 elements are there.
So Harim Shadvidham Uchyate, all these personalities are considered as expansions of Hari only, partial expansions, right? May not be complete expansions. So Amsha, 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 like that. So like that, these personalities like Uttanapada and Manu, they are also considered expansions of the Lord only in one sense. And they represent very partial potency of the Lord, not completely. They are not like avatars. They are not like Leela avatars or like that. Right? They are also considered expansions of the Lord. In fact, everybody is Amsha. Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhutas Sanatanaha. Krishna says all the living entities, although they are counted as Prakriti, still they are my Amshas. They are parts and parcels. Right? So Hare Ramshamsha Janmanaha. So now the Jiva Amsha and these people, Uttanapada and the people in the dynasty of Uttanapada, they are not on the same level. They are not ordinary Jivas. Because in the dynasty of Uttanapada, Lord Kapila appeared, Lord Yajna appeared. Not Kapila's, not Uttanapada's dynasty, Swayambhumanu's dynasty. Kapila, Yajna, Prithu, Rishabha, all these great personalities appeared in the dynasty of dynasties of the children of Swayambhumanu. From Devahuti, one daughter, Kapila appeared. From Akuti, Yajna appeared. They are all incarnations of the Lord. And in Uttanapada's dynasty, Prithu Maharaj appeared. In Prevrata's dynasty, Rishabhadev appeared. Right? Like that, there are very great personalities. And also Naranarayan appeared from Akuti, Prasuti, Prasuti's dynasty. Prasuti had 16 daughters. One of those daughters is Murti, and from her, Naranarayan appeared. Like that, from the five children of Swayambhumanu, in their dynasties, the Supreme Lord appeared as an incarnation. So like that, it's a very glorious dynasty. Now I will continue the description, he says. So Brahma is also Jiva Tattva, but he is an empowered plenary expansion. He is also Gunavatara. He is also considered Shaktyaveshavatara. Shaktyaveshavatara means a Jiva empowered with a specific Shakti by the Supreme Lord. And what is the specific Shakti with which Brahma is empowered? Srishti Shakti. Prithu Maharaj is empowered with Palana Shakti. And Parashuram is empowered with Dushtadamana Shakti. And Kumaras are empowered with Jnana Shakti. All four Kumaras are considered one unit. Like that. So like that, Swayambhumanu is glorious, his dynasty is glorious, all the people who are appearing in this dynasty are very great people. So now I will describe the dynasty. Priyavratottana Padao Shatarupa Patehi Sutao Vasudevasya Kalayam Rakshayam Jagatasthitau Priyavrata Uttanapada. Who are the two sons of Manu? Priyavrata and Uttanapada. Vasudevasya Kalaya, they are also considered the partial expansions of Vasudeva, portions of plenary portions of Vasudeva. So Vasudevasya Kalaya Rakshayam Jagatasthitau. What is their job profile? Rakshayam Jagataha. They protect this universe. Right? They protect the citizens, they maintain the universe nicely. That is what is their role, Manuputras. So, next, 8th verse. Jaye Uttana Padasya Sunitihi Suruchih Tayoham Suruchihi Preyasi Patyur Netarayat Sutodhruvaham. So Jaye Uttana Padasya. Just one more point in the previous verse. That is Vasudevasya Kalaya. Chakravartipada gives a note that Manu's sons, Uttanapada and Priyavrata, they were born of the Lord's expansion, and they themselves are also expansions, and they produced expansions of the Lord. Right? So they, as Manuputras, they themselves were considered expansions of the Lord. And as sons of Manu, they were born of an expansion of the Lord, and they produced expansions also, as we discussed just now. So coming to the next verse, 8th verse. Jaye Uttanapadasya Sunitir Suruchistayohu. So Uttanapada Maharaj, he had two wives, Suniti and Suruchi. Suruchi hi Preyasi Patyur. this Suruchi is Preyasi, very dear to Uttanapada, her pati. Netara yat suto dhruvaha. Netara, the other wife, Suniti, she is not very dear to Uttanapada. We don't like Neeti so much. We like Ruchi. Is it not? Their names are also interestingly are like that. Something very tasty we just eat. Example, Ayurvedic diet. They say you eat something which is not very tasty, palatable to you. But the patient wants to eat something tasty, very tasty. So names are also interesting like that. Although I didn't read this in any other Acharya's commentary or anything like that, but it seems like that. So Suruchi and Suniti. She is, Suruchi is very dear to Uttanapada. Suniti is not very dear. Right? And also the son of Suniti, his name is Dhruva, he did not receive so much affection from the king because he is the son of a wife who is not very dear to the king. So Maitreya wanted to describe the pious activities of both kings. In the previous two verses, he generally mentioned about the sons of Swayambhumanu. He could have began with Priyavrata also. Why he didn't begin with Priyavrata? He began with Uttanapada. Why? Because Uttanapada, in Uttanapada's dynasty, Dhruva Maharaj is coming. So Maitreya Muni is also very eager to describe about Dhruva Maharaj. So sometimes speaker also gets very enthusiastic. It's not only he is doing the duty of speaking Krishna Katha or giving teaching to someone who is very eager to hear. He himself also has some feelings. He himself also has some, beyond his dutiful manner of speaking, he himself also has some taste and rasa in explaining certain things. For example, sometimes like Vidyapeeth teachers only, they like certain sections so much. So dutifully we teach chapter by chapter, verse by verse. So when some verses come, there is more elaboration from the teachers. Right? So they like the teacher, they like that verses, they like those sections, there is more elaboration. So we need to respect that. So here Maitreya Muni is extremely eager to describe Dhruva Maharaj. He is also very excited. When the speaker himself is also very excited, then the whole description is really relishable. Right? So Sukadeva Goswami also is very excited to describe Krishna's leelas. If you read the ninth canto, ninth canto has maximum number of episodes which are described in a very condensed form. Right? So Ambarish Maharaj, just three chapters. And some kings, they come in three verses, four verses, one verse like that. List of names only. He's just running till he comes to tenth canto. And just to test Parikshit Maharaj, he summarized Krishna's activities also into two verses. Then Parikshit Maharaj said, don't summarize. I don't want Krishna's leelas in just one or two verses. I want Krishna's leelas in 90 chapters. Then he began 10th canto. Like that. So one important section is coming, we'll elaborate more. So these are very easy verses, we'll just kind of summarize. So that's the mood here. So Prabhupada, he also is very eager. Before Dhruva Maharaj's episode begins only, he gives all the results of hearing Dhruva Maharaj's episode, the glory of Dhruva Maharaj's episode right in the beginning. Right? Just to create our mood also in the purport. So Maitreya Muni wanted to describe the pious activities of both kings, but he is very eager to speak about pious activities of Dhruva. And the incidents in the life of Dhruva are very attractive to the devotees. Some lessons Prabhupada writes. Detachment from material possessions and enhancement of one's devotional service. The severe austerities and penances. So Dhruva Maharaj has performed severe austerities. He has accepted a lot of voluntary inconvenience upon himself, right, to practice devotional service. So that's very inspiring. And he was detached from material possessions after acquiring them. So as the story unfolds, we'll understand more. And by hearing all these descriptions, that will enhance one's devotional service. One enhance one's faith in God. And one can very soon be elevated to the transcendental platform of devotional service. So it's very inspiring. Now, ninth verse. Ekada suchehi putram ankamaropya lalayan uttamam naru rukshantam dhruvam raja abhyanandatam. Ekada, one day, once upon a time. Sada means at all times. Ekada means at one time. Right? Kada at some time. So, ekada suruchehi putram. Suruchi is putra. Who is that? Uttama. Ankamaropya lalayan. Dushtanapada accepted this Suruchi's putra, Uttama, and Ankam Aropya. He made him sit on his lap. Lalayan, he is patting him nicely. Uttamam Narurukshantam Dhruvam. He took Uttava, Uttama, then Dhruvam Raja Abhinandata. At that time, Dhruva Maharaj came. Father, I also want to sit on your lap. He is very eager to sit on Uttanapada's lap. But Rajya Abhyanandata. So, Uttanapada Maharaj did not welcome Dhruva. He did not entertain him. He is trying to climb on his lap. He did not take him inside. He is indifferent. He is insensitive. Right? So, he is cold in one sense. So, he did not welcome him. Actually, Uttanapada was having affection for Dhruva Maharaj. So, he was equally affectionate towards both the sons, Uttama and Dhruva. But here, because of his extra favoritism to the queen Suruchi, in front of her, he did not accept Dhruva Maharaj. He did not pat Dhruva Maharaj. Right? So, sometimes our feelings are crippled because of the presence of some other people. Right, we become little conscious. We try to control our ecstasies. Right, seeing the time, place, circumstances. So here he took, see that assigned play, he saw the time, place, circumstances. Oh, Suruchi is there. She may not appreciate so much if I take Dhruva. So despite his feelings, he just had to disappoint Dhruva Maharaj. So Prabhupada writes in the, no purport, 10th verse.
Tathachi kirshamanam tam sapatnyastanayam dhruvam suruchi hisranvato rajnaham sersham aha atigarvita.
So, tathachi kirshamanam tam sapatnyastanayam dhruvam. So, while Uttanapada Maharaj was hearing, Suruchi started speaking. Right, in his hearing. Whom did he speak to? Whom did she speak to? Sapatnyaha Tanayam Dhruvam. She started speaking to Dhruva Maharaj, just a 5-year-old boy, who is the son of her Sapatni, co-wife. So, there is always a conflict between co-wives. Right, generally. Not in Krishna's case. Although Krishna had 16,108 queens, generally there was not much. We don't hear so much. Only Satyabhama just kind of becomes, she starts complaining. You gave her Parijata flower. Then Krishna says, flower, I'll give you tree. So he gets a tree from heavenly planets. So otherwise we don't generally see so much of conflict there. So tatha chikirshamanantam sapatnyaha tanayam dhruvam. Suruchi srinvato ragnaha sa irsham atigarvita. And what was her mood and demeanor in her speech? Sa irsha, with full of irsha, envy, poison in her mind. Sa irsham. And garvita, atigarvita, she is very proud. Right, very proudly she started speaking as the king is listening. So generally, in front of a superior or a husband or a guru, one does not display one's pride and this irsha, envy so much, so vividly. But because of her favoritism, because she thinks that I am so dear to the king, I can behave the way I want. Right? She started displaying all her lower tendencies. So Prabhupada writes in this purport, these symptoms are visible even in elevated society as the family of Swayambhuman. Even in the family of Swayambhumanu also, there was a woman who is so proud and envious. At the same time, there is another woman who is so mild, patient, tolerant and devoted. that is Suniti. We can see a great contrast between Suniti and Suruchi here. So here Prabhupada is describing the nature of a woman. Therefore it is concluded that the feminine nature of woman is present everywhere, even in Manush dynasty, the original Manushya. So now these tendencies are there, and they are like material tendencies. They exist before one becomes a devotee of Krishna. At this point, Suruchi was not a devotee. She may think or she may act like a devotee after few verses, but she does not have the devotion that Suniti had. Suniti was a great devotee of Krishna. As soon as Dhruvamaharaj came crying to Suniti, she immediately directed Dhruvamaharaj towards Suniti. So we will compare the characters of Suniti and Suruchi when the scene comes up to Suniti, right? So now we will focus more on Suruchi's words. Here Uttanapada Maharaj was mixing his duty and emotions. So mixing duty and emotions was not very much recommended. So as a dutiful father, he is supposed to show affection towards his son. So now consider that as a duty. But actually there is feelings there also. But here he gave importance to some lower feelings towards Suruchi and gave up his duty towards Dhruva. Right? So it is, father cannot afford to disappoint a small boy, son, right? And he is not asking, he is not demanding anything undue. He is just asking to sit on the father's lap. And that too, when his brother, someone of similar age, he is sitting, in that context he is coming and asking for, father, I will also sit on your lap. And he did not entertain it. So it's not proper on the part of a father. But because of his unnecessary, undue, material affection towards Suruchi, he could not entertain Dhruva. That weakness of Uttanapada became the strength of Suruchi. Sometimes our weakness could become the strength of another person. Right? So for example, Dasaratha Maharaj, he was so affectionate to Kaikeyi. And he gave her two boons. And as long as Kaikeyi was in like proper mood, she did not ask, I am satisfied, I don't need these two boons. Suddenly an envious feeling, a greedy feeling crept in her mind because of Manthara. And she asked these two boons. So Dasaratha Maharaj is obliged. He is obliged to send Lord Ramachandra for 14 years of Vanavas. And he is obliged to send, obliged to agree for the enthroning of Bharat Maharaj, although he himself is not very excited with this proposal. And eventually he had to give up his life also. So one should not be so weak-hearted that he becomes a puppet in the hands of other weak-hearted people. One has to be extremely careful towards one's non-devotional obligations. We are seeing it from a human perspective. Definitely our Ramachandra's going to the forest for Vanvas for 14 years, that's the transcendental plan of the Lord, and Kaikeyi is playing her role in the transcendental plan, in the cosmic plan. So that is from the divine perspective. From the human perspective, if you see, Dasaratha Maharaj became obligated to Kaikeyi. So because of that, he had to give up his life and he had to give up the association of Ramachandra also. And from Kaikeyi said, she became very weak-hearted because of the influence of Manthara. We cannot afford to hear negativity from someone. Right? So here, because of his undue attachment towards Suruchi, Uttanapada also is like very, indifferent to his son, Dhruva Maharaj. So we need to be very careful while giving promises to less intelligent people. We don't know what they will expect from us at what time. Right. Sometimes one may have to compromise on one's own devotional practices also because of one's non-devotional obligations.
And Suruchi became very proud and envious. And she displayed this quality of Durutti, harsh speech. So from Suruchi's perspective, if we see, because of her closeness to her husband, she became proud. Sometimes one's closeness to one's superiors will induce an undue feeling of pride in us. And Muttanapada became henpecked. Right? Sometimes when we become too malleable and too affectionate and too much attached to subordinates, we may become puppets in their hands. We will become subordinate to them. Right? So one needs to be very cautious in one's relationships. Uttanapada, as a dutiful husband, had the responsibility to control this kind of attitude of Suruchi. But instead of controlling her negative tendency, he became controlled by her negative tendency. Right? He could not do the duty of a husband properly. He could not do the duty of a father also properly at this stage. And because of her dearness towards the king, Suruchi became very proud. For example, sometimes a pujari may think that he is the deity. He is serving the deity so closely, and people who are not allowed to enter the altar, who may be eager for darshan, darshan bandh hoga, out. Of course, protocols he may have to implement, but he gives so much of self-importance sometimes, Kanishta especially, he gives so much of self-importance, and because of his close connection with the deity, he starts thinking that, I am also the deity. I should also give so much respect. Without my sanction, no one can have darshan of the deity. Not a blade of grass moves inside the altar without my sanction. Right? So, that kind of controllership comes in a neophyte person. Same thing happened with Suruchi also. So one episode is there in the 10th canto. When Krishna is entering Mathura, he saw a washerman. A washerman, he is carrying Kamsa's clothes, and Krishna and Balaram and many other gopas were having a tour of Mathura. They saw this washerman. He had so many colorful clothes. So he asked, "My dear washerman, can you please give us some clothes? We are like small boys, innocent boys coming from this village. So if you give us some clothes to wear, so we'll be very happy. And you will get great benefit." Krishna assures a boon to that washerman. So that washerman very proudly says that, "How dare you expect the clothes of a king? These are clothes of a king. You are all forest dwellers, mountain wanderers, uncivilized village people. How are you expecting the clothes of a king?" So if you ask like this, the king's soldiers will loot you, will beat you, and will kill you. Right? You don't deserve to wear these clothes. He could have said, "These are king's clothes, I cannot give you," if he is not willing to give. All these extra dialogues are really too much on his part to say. Why he is thinking like that? Because there are so many dobiwalas in Mathura, he is the only washerman who is the washerman of the king. Because he is the washerman of the king, he started thinking that I am the king. Right? So out of all washermen in this Mathura arena, Mathura kingdom, I am most special. I have thousands of donkeys. I have many other washermen who are my assistants. So he is like that. So he became very proud. So because of one's close connection with one's superiors, one will become very proud, and one will become indifferent to other people who may not have that much affection, that privilege. Right? Sometimes a disciple, a senior disciple, may become very close to guru. Right? And because of the need of the service, he may be very close to guru. But that doesn't mean that he can become indifferent towards other god brothers, or he may become proud because of his close connection with guru, etc. So one's connection with superiors or the deities or guru should not induce pride. That should only induce a sense of responsibility. because I am so closely interacting with this superior person or the deity, I should behave more responsibly than other people. And whenever there is a need, whenever there is an opportunity, I should also give such kind of privilege to other people also. Right? So if the pujari says, oh, come, come, take darshan of the deities, then other people will be encouraged. Okay? He is a medium through which another person can access the deity or the guru. Right? So one should be very responsible and one should not become proud. No, but Surichi is speaking with a lot of envy and pride. Garvita and Irshyam. 11th verse. Navatsarvater dhishnyam bhavan arodhumarhati nagrihito maya yatvam kukshav apinrpatmajahan. Someone can read the translation.
Queen Surichi told Dhruva Maharaj, my dear child, you do not deserve to sit on the throne or on the lap of the king. Surely you are also the son of the king. But because you did not take your birth from my womb, you are not qualified to sit on your father's lap.
So na vatsa nrupater dhishnyam bhavan arodhumarhati. O vatsa, O small boy, Dhruva, na bhavan arodhumarhati, you don't deserve to sit on the lap of your father. Nrupater dhishnyam, nrupati means the king of all human beings, that is king, Uttanapada here. So you cannot afford to sit on the throne or the lap of your father. You don't deserve. You have no qualification. So what is the qualification to sit on father's lap? What is the qualification to sit on father's throne? She says, na grihito maya yattvam kuksha apinrpatmajaha. You did not take birth from my kukshi, my womb. The qualification to sit on Uttanapada's lap is birth from my womb. If you take birth from my womb, then you deserve to sit. And Uttama had that qualification. You don't have that qualification. Right? In other words, she said, she told Dhruva, you should die. That will come in the next verse. Right? So Dhishnyam here is a seat. So she indirectly informed Dhruva that although he is the son of the king, you are the son of the king. But you are not my son. You are the son of another woman, Suniti. So you are considered an illegitimate son because of your birth from another queen. So someone from this wife only deserves to sit, not from other wives. Right? She, her jealousy or her feelings of superiority over her co-wife are being displayed here in front of her son. So he is a small boy. Ideally, she would not have any issues with the small boy. But her envy or her garva, her pride, all these are in relation to Suniti. And because Dhruva is connected to Suniti, she is displaying all that envy and pride in front of the small boy, although he doesn't deserve. And she is addressing him as Vatsa, oh small boy. Right? But you are not my boy, you are her boy. So I display all my negative feelings towards you also. When we envy someone, we may start envying other people who are connected to that person also. Although personally we don't have any issue. Right? So, ideally speaking, Suruji should not have any issue with Dhruva. He is a small boy. Hardly he can cause any harm to anyone. But because he happened to be the son of Suniti, she feels I am superior to Suniti, so she started displaying her arrogance in front of Dhruva. Actually, this kind of mentality can creep in any conditioned soul. If you see the Jiva Tattva, every living entity is a child of God. Right? And the child of God has the right to use and enjoy God's property for his own survival and at least to live. Right? Krishna has allocated certain quota to every living entity from his own energies, from his own world, to survive. Jivo jivasya jivana mahastani sahastanam apadani chatushpadam falguni tatra mahasam mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. Krishna created a perfect sustenance system, sustainable system
by which one jiva depends on another jiva for his own survival. But problem is, the more intelligent jivas, like human beings, they exploit other jivas and they don't allow them to survive. They accept all the resources in this world for their own survival, extravagant survival. So that's the nature of conditioned soul. So arrogant people try to control other living entities. They try to overrule the right of other living entities to live. So this is controllership mentality. Not a blade of grass should move without my sanction, like that. So as a part of one's duty, one may have to exercise some control over other living entities. But that should be on a dutiful platform, but not on the platform of greed and envy and pride, right? So the rightful share of Dhruva is the lap of Uttanapath. But Suruchi is depriving Dhruva of that share. Similarly, selfish human beings will deprive the share of other living entities or even other weaker human beings also to enjoy God's property. They want to take everything for themselves. They want to enjoy everything. Right? So, 12th verse. Balosi batanatmanam anyastri garbhasambhrutam nunam veda bhavan yasyam durlabhirthe manorathaham. Balosi batanatmanam. Bala, you are a small boy. You are a small child. Batanatmanam, you don't understand. You are not aware that anyastri garbhasambhrutam, you are born out of the womb of another lady. For you may think that this Uttama is also like you only. No, he is special. He is Uttam than you. Right? He is special because he is born from me. Dhruvamara's childhood innocence may not even discriminate between himself and Uttama, or even between Suniti and Suruchi also. Both are my mothers, you may think like that, out of his boyish innocence. So, but she is inducing that feelings in Dhruva Maharaj. There is a difference between you and Uttama. There is a difference between your mother and me. You are anyastri garbhasambhrutam. You are born out of the womb of another lady. So that lady is different from me, and I am superior to that lady. Because you are born out of that lady, you don't deserve to sit on your father's lap. I agree that you are his son, but you are not my son, so you can't sit. Like that. So out of pride, Suruchi informed him that since he was a child, he did not understand the distinction between these two queens. Both are queens, he was thinking like that. So, Nunam Veda Bhavan Yasya Durlabhe Arthe Manoratha. She says, Durlabhe Arthe Manoratha. Manoratha means the mind's desire, the heart's desire. Durlabhe Arthe, it's very difficult to fulfill this desire that you have. What is the desire? Sitting on father's lap. It's extremely difficult to fulfill that desire. So Dhruva Maharaj, just these words really pierce at the heart of Dhruva Maharaj. Durlabhirthe manorathaha means my desire to sit on father's lap is difficult to achieve. I will show to her. I will sit on a position not my father's level, not his father's level, not his father's level, above that. Supreme Father. Uttanapada is the son of Swayambhumanu. Swayambhumanu is the son of Brahmaji. There is no one superior to Brahma, only Supreme Lord is there. So Dhruva Maharaj aspired to sit on a position above Brahmaji also. That is Kshatriya spirit. Durlabhirthe manorataha. Narada Muni comes and acknowledges. Sushkaram karma krutva. Your son, this 5-year-old boy, have done something which cannot be accomplished by Lokapalai Rati Prabho. That cannot be accomplished by great demigods and rulers of the universe also. Because of his determination in devotional service, he will attain a position superior to Brahmaji also. Right, we'll discuss more of Dhruva's ambition. But here, childhood innocence of Dhruva Maharaj did not see any distinctions between Suruchi and Suniti. But she brought in that kind of discrimination. So, the elders' disposition and their attitude and their whole demeanor is very important for a child's growth. In front of the child, if the parents or other elders or other elder family members are displaying their lower qualities, the child will develop these samskaras only. Right. Somehow Dhruva Maharaj is fortunate enough, although he became so harsh, he seemed like snake, he became so ambitious to sit in a place which is superior to Brahmaji's position also. Still, because of his great fortune, because of the blessings of Mother Suniti and Narada Muni Guru, he was directed on a good path, right? Devotional service. He attained success in devotional service. But in ordinary cases, in front of a small child, if the elders display such arrogance and pride and unnecessarily chastise them and abuse them, what kind of samskaras the child will develop? Such tender heart will be pierced by these harsh dealings of elders? So he, once he is grown up also, his value system will be a little totally imbalanced. Right? So it's the responsibility of elders to behave properly in front of children. Not like Suruchi. Tapasya radhya purusham tasyevanugrahena me garbhetvam sadhayatmanam yadichasi nrupasanam. Tapasa radhya purusham. My dear Dhruva, tapasa aradhya purusham. Perform tapasya, austerities. Aradhya, worship. Whom? Purusham, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tasyeva anugrahena. Tasya eva anugrahena. Only by his anugraha mercy, you will get this blessing of sitting on the throne. How? Garbhetvam sadhyamananam yadichachin rupasanam. So by worshipping the Supreme Lord, you can enter my womb. Right? You can take birth in your next life as my child, my son. Then you can sit on father's lap. Right? Yadichasi nrupasanam, if you have icha, desire, nrupasanam, to sit on father's throne, then you should worship the Supreme Lord and ask him to fulfill your desire. So Suruchi was so envious of Dhruva that she indirectly asked him to die. You die now. With this body you cannot sit on father's lap. You should die. Worship the Lord, take birth in my womb, then you can sit. Right? So her talk is a show. Now, what was the first line she said? Tapasaradhya purusham. So basically, this Sunit Suruchi is showing off in front of Uttanapada. He is showing off what? She is showing off her devotion. Tapasa aradhya purusham. Just to impress upon Uttanapada that she is a great devotee, she has great faith on worshipping the Supreme Lord, she is recommending Krishna's worship to this boy, Dhruva. Right? Worship Narayana. She is saying like that. See, I am recommending him worship of Narayana. So, Sambandhajnana I am giving him. But what is the prayojan there? Sambandhajnana or Abhivaya she is giving. What is the prayojan? Prayojan is birth from my womb. By worshipping the Supreme Lord Narayana, one can be relieved from this birth and death cycle. By worshipping Narayana, how can someone take birth in the womb of an arrogant woman like Suruchi? But she thinks that the result of worshipping Narayana is birth in my womb. That is her arrogance, and she attributed so much of importance to herself. Birth in my womb is such a great privilege that one has to worship Lord Narayana to get this privilege. Right? So one may give so much of self-importance, like a government employee, just to get my signature, this fellow has to undergo a lot of endeavor. Right? So one gives a lot of importance to oneself. Same thing happens with one's ideas. One may give a lot of importance to one's ideas, one's plans. So this is the best way of doing it. Why? The thought came in my mind. This may not be the best way of doing it. Why? Because that is that fellow's idea. Right? One may discriminate based on that egoistic considerations. For example, a service has to be done. A mission has to be accomplished. So different people are contributing different ideas how best we can do this. Sometimes an immature person may think that, oh, this is the best way of doing it just because I thought of doing it. He may not give importance to other things. Even if his intelligence tells him that actually the person, what the other person is saying is the best way of doing it, but still his attachment to his own idea, his own proposal will not allow him to accept the other person's idea. Sometimes it happens because of ego, because ego is more subtle than intelligence. Intelligence is perceiving the perceiving good results of another idea, but ego is not allowing him to accept it. Right? Many times intelligence is very good because of reading Shastra or staying with devotees. Once intelligence starts dictating oneself that, oh, this is good way of doing it, this is not a good way, this is good, this is bad. So intelligence develops with a discrimination, but ego is subduing that intelligence. Ego is saying, no, don't do this, don't do that. Like that. So that is Suruchi's speech.